with the third Sunday of the month of Advent season. That's what we're in. Hallelujah. We're awaiting and preparing for the arrival of Jesus Christ. That's the day that we're going to be celebrating next Sunday, Christmas Eve. Amen. So I want you to turn to, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to begin in chapter 61. So let's turn there. We're going to start in verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. And we'll stop there. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So it begins, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying this word in the Bible, and it's talking about the anointed one. The anointed one means Messiah has come, or the anointed one comes, and he's prophesying that there's one that is called the anointed one, that he is going to come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. So just bear with me. Hallelujah. Many scholars have noted that this is likely referring to the practice set in Israel's law known as the year of Jubilee. Amen. Some of us may be aware of the Mosaic law. It required a Sabbath day of rest. Remember, and throughout the Bible, you can hear that the Lord requires you to take a Sabbath, a day. You, for 6 days you work, and for on the seventh day you rest. Amen. So, but not only that, it also required a Sabbath year that is observed every seventh year. So in this, not only do the people and the livestock rest, but the land has to rest as well. Why? Because in that year, the Lord is commanding for the land to rest because he doesn't want any planting to be done. At that time, harvesting was not allowed in order to foster restoration of the land. But the cycle of sevens was not done yet. After every seventh Sabbath year, which are seven cycles times seven, it equaled 49 years. And after the seventh Sabbath year, the people were required to set apart the 50th year as the year of Jubilee. So there are three things that I'm going to be talking about today, three things regarding Jubilee today, which Jubilee is another, is there's a synonym for Jubilee. It means joy, and it means so much more. But right now, we're talking about the Lord came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So we're talking about Jubilee. We're talking about a joyful time of celebration. So I want to bring to your attention these three things about Jubilee. One, Jubilee brings freedom. Second, Jubilee brings hope. And third, Jesus brings Jubilee. Amen? Hallelujah. So one, Jubilee brings freedom. So you might expect that the Sabbath scale expands here in the 50th year celebration. But the promise of God, the year of the Lord's favor, goes so much more beyond that. It exceeds our imagination. The year of Jubilee is not only about rest, it's about freedom in every sphere of life. In every area of your life, the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, is about freedom in every area of your life. And God commands, back then, God on the 50th year, under the Mosaic law, God commanded that every debt would be forgiven on the 50th year. Amen. God commands that the land should return to its original owner. Remember that the land that the Israelites had was given by God. It was a gift from God to the people, to the families as their inheritance. So the main reasons to sell that you would sell the land would be because of the twisted leadership or the corrupted leadership that they had back then, or even financial desperation. How many of us in our lifetime, or maybe we know some people that maybe our cars had been repossessed because of financial reasons. Maybe we lost a home. Amen. So there's circumstances, you know, today and even back then, things that maybe we have gone through that for some reason, our property was taken away. Amen. And sometimes it's taken away deceitfully. I mean, it happens. Amen. So, to top it all off, God commanded that all the enslaved people should be set free. So if anybody had slaves in their possession, that 50th year, they had to set the captives free. They had to set the people free. It was the law at the time. Now, in light of this command, let's read this again. Let's read this prophecy again. You know, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Amen. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Hallelujah. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So Jubilee brings freedom. There is freedom in Christ. There is freedom when we preach the good news. There is freedom when we accept the Lord. He heals our broken heart. He restores us. He sets us free. He says we were once held captive by our sins, by the way we were living. But today, because of Jubilee, because the year of the Lord's favor, we have the freedom today to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We have the freedom today to preach the good news. We have the freedom today to receive from God His anointing, His unction on our life. We have the freedom today that exceeds all of our imagination. You know, the Word of God says, no ear has heard or no ears has seen. Hold up. There's so much more that the Lord wants to do on your behalf. There is so much, but there's so much in this prophecy. And when the word is saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and talking about the Messiah, the anointed one, well, guess what? When the Lord came, a number of years later, hallelujah, the Lord came, he lived. He was born, he lived, he died, but then he resurrected. And today he's living. When the Lord came, he didn't leave us orphaned. He gave us his own Spirit to live in the inside of us. Amen. It's because of the sealing that he did upon us believers of Christ. Hallelujah. We have everything that we need that really does exceed our imagination.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, the provisions of God, amazing. Hallelujah. The favor of God on our lives.
Yes.
The mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God that it is unquestionable, it is incomprehensible, the joy that is unspeakable, the peace that surpasses all our understanding. There is freedom. Jubilee brings freedom. Amen. Number two, Jubilee brings hope.
Amen.
I'm gonna dive really good into here, and I really need you to hark your ears. Hallelujah. Jubilee brings hope. Jubilee was an incredible gift to God that God set apart for his community. It was the stroke of genius that was established, and it was established as the rhythm of enduring hope. Amen. I mean, if you remember, the Israelites were held captives in Babylon. They were in Babylon, held captives as slaves. Amen. And there comes a time where the prophet Isaiah, he is prophesying the hope that we have in Christ. Keep hoping. Don't give up. Keep hoping, because you're going to be set free. God is going to come through for you. God is going to rescue you. God is going to do it all for you. God is going to bring comfort. We read about comforting, a comforting God. And that word came up again today in these scriptures. I mean, that word comfort has been coming up in the last few months. You got to take that in. You got to take that word in. Comfort is preparation. Comfort is peace. Comfort is completeness in God. When you're comforted by God, you are complete in Christ. You should be at peace in God. Hallelujah. So here we have Jubilee brings hope. Hope. Hope where? Hope in Christ. Hope in the Messiah, hope in the anointed one. And embedded in the culture of God's people, in the Israelites and in us today, is a built-in protection against permanent poverty. Are you hearing me? We have a built-in protection today too against permanent poverty, against permanent bondage, against permanent loss of your family's treasure inheritance. What is yours is yours. Amen. And what the enemy has stolen on you, I declare and decree that if the enemy has stolen any property and anything that you treasured, hallelujah, I declare and decree that God will restore it 100-fold in the name of Jesus. He will restore it in Jesus' name. If tragedy or hardship hit that has hit you, and it hit those people back then, the Israelites back then, it hit them. They came into debt. They had to sell their family's inheritance. They were in desperation. How many have been there? I know people in my family, they lost homes. They lost cars because there was no mercy given. Amen. Banks are not merciful.
Yes.
The minute you stop paying, they come after you and they repossess your car. You lose that property and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't take it back.
So true.
But God is a restorer. He, amen. Whatever the enemy has stolen from you, God will restore it 100-fold in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So there is hope in God, church. There was hope for the Israelites then. God will rescue the same way he rescued them from the Egyptians. He can do it again. And he did it again. He rescued them from Babylon. Amen.
Yes.
They were rescued. They were protected the whole time. Maybe they didn't feel the protection of God, but they were protected. Amen. Maybe sometimes you don't feel the protection of God, but let me tell you, you are protected. The greater one is in you.
Amen.
If God is with you, who can be against you? No one.
Yes. Hallelujah.
No one. So for the Israelites, there was hope. Jubilee was on the horizon. The 50th year of the 50-year cycle meant that the average Israelite could experience this celebration once in a lifespan. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hope was planted in the soil of every area of their soul. And they waited, and they waited for those seeds to become the promised oaks of righteousness. Here in these verses says, the trees of righteousness. In another version says, the promised oaks of righteousness. Let me tell you, trees, the oak trees, they're huge. And not only are they huge, but they're beautiful, and they are deeply rooted and grounded underneath, yes, that dirt, underneath the surface dirt, amen? So there's a planting that happens. There's a planting that was happening to the Israelites. This is a prophecy given by Isaiah. You know, not only are you going to be rescued, not only are you going to be healed, not only am I going to comfort you with my peace, hallelujah, but I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. I'm going to put on you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. So that you may be called trees of righteousness. And then it says, because for the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You see, when God does things on your behalf, when God is moving on your life, and you are planted like the oak tree, hallelujah, you will be displaying the glory of God. You will be displaying, hallelujah, the splendor of God. Your life will represent the splendor and the glory of God. Hallelujah, because there's hope. Because in Christ we have a hope. Because Jubilee brings hope. Hallelujah. You should walk in hope every day. There is hope in us. There is hope for our families. There is hope for your children. There is hope for your grandchildren. There is hope for everyone. Amen. Just the fact that God gave his only begotten hope, that is hope right there. That he loved you so much and he loved the world so much, there is hope for the world. There is hope for us. Amen. So hope was planted in their every soul. Amen. So hope has been planted in our lives today. Amen. There's still hope. We keep hoping, and every day we walk in hope. Hope. We hope for so many things. Amen. And we're walking the hope of God right now. We hope for a rescue. I don't know about you, but one time I was praying. I said, Lord, I know there's a God out there. I know you exist, but I need you. I need you to rescue me from this pit that I'm in right now. I need you to come through, God. If you're really real, I need you to bring someone to talk to me, or I need you to talk to me right now and get me out of this mess. Many of us have been in messes before. Amen. Before we, amen, came to know the Lord, and before, amen, we accept the Lord. Let's be real. Let's be honest. I was a hot mess. Amen. Before I came to God, a hot mess. Amen. But glory to God that today I can firmly say, today I am standing as a promise of God's child, and I'm standing as an oak tree, amen, and I am planted in the Lord, and I pray and hope that when you see me, you just see the glory of God beaming from the inside to the outside of me. Amen. And that's how I see everyone here on this platform. The glory of God. When I see you, I see Jesus. When I see you, I see the Lord. When I see you, I see the splendor of God being displayed on you. Amen. Because we're firmly planted and grounded in the Lord.
Amen.
So Jubilee, he brings hope. It brings hope. And this is a gift. Jubilee is an incredible gift, like I said, that sets people apart. There is a gift that was given to you from God himself. Amen. But if God gives you the gift, all we got to do is what? Receive it. God can give you something, but if you don't open your hearts and receive it, it's not going to do you any good. So let's say, for example, let's say, Vinit, if you give me a gift, and I'm just calling you because you're the first one on my wall here. If you give me a gift and say, Pastor, this is a gift for you. If I don't take it, if I don't receive your gift, how am I going to know what the gift is? How am I going to know what it looks like? How am I going to know if I can use it or not? How am I going to know what I'm getting if I'm not receiving it? Amen. Many times people try to give me gifts, and this was years ago. People tried to give me financial gifts, and I'm like, no, I don't want it. I'm not receiving it. Well, guess what? I lost my blessing back then. Because freely, God has given, freely receive what the Lord has given you. Amen? So I'm here to tell you that we have an incredible gift that God has given us. God has given you an anointing. God has given you an unction. God has given you everything that you need to live life and live it well. And God has given you your healing. If God has given it to you, all you have to do is receive it. Just receive. So the prophet here is saying, this is everything that the Lord is giving you. All we got to do is open our hearts, open our hands, and just receive the gift of God. Just receive it. And it shall be. I want to turn real quick to the Gospel of Mark 11:24, because I need you to get this, church. I really need you to get this. Mark 11:24. This is like a little side nugget, but it's so powerful. Mark 11:24. Therefore, this is the Lord speaking, the Lord Jesus speaking. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. In other words, you need to receive, believe, and then it shall be. It is yours. Amen?
Amen.
You have to receive what the Lord already did on your life. The Lord provided good gifts. And in those good gifts, he provided your healing. Not only did he provide salvation when you received him as your Lord and Savior, because we had to receive them. How did we do? We received him by confessing with our mouth that the Lord Jesus is our King over our life, our Savior. Well, not only did you receive salvation, I want you to understand that you also, God has given you healing. Healing came with the salvation. It is a free gift that was given unto you. All you have to do is receive your gift. Receive the gift. Believe, and it shall be done on your behalf. It is that simple. It is that simple. Receive, believe, and let it be. There's a famous quote that says, "Don't try, just trust." From John G. Lake. Don't try, just trust. Once you receive and believe, just trust God that it is complete. It is done. Amen?
Amen.
So if you've been praying, if you've been praying for anything, including healing, the answer is right here. Mark 11:24. Receive, believe, and just trust. And it shall be in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. It's a little nugget there. But the Lord just opened that up so vividly while I was studying that he had to bring me to that. And in the interim, I just want to give you an example. So I'm going to go to the Gospel of John because God just brought it to my remembrance. The Gospel of John. Let's go to 5:5. And I did not look at this at these verses this week. I just knew what it was. And I was just meditating on it. John 5, right?
Yeah.
Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and this is at the pool of Bethesda, hallelujah. It was, you know, Jesus was walking in by the pool in the it's like a court, and there was a pool, and there was a bunch of sick and paralyzed people around the pool. Amen. But anyway, I just want to go to this particular man. And when Jesus saw this man who had been sick for 38 years lying there, and Jesus knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Amen. This is, I just want to go back because I don't want to lose you. I want to go back to, let me go back to the beginning because I really don't want to lose you. 5:1 says, verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. So when Jesus walked into the porch, he went directly to this particular man who had been sick for 38 years, and he pointed to him and went to him because he already knew his condition. He already knew about his condition. So he asked the man, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me or push me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another one steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Okay. And it says here that immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Okay, so it says here, when the Lord commanded him to rise, take up your bed and walk, when the man took up his bed, that meant that the man received what the Lord was saying. He received the words of the Lord. And because he received the words of the Lord, he believed, because we see that he believed, because he picked up his mat and began to walk. That's the part of believing. But he received first the words of the Lord, then he believed the Lord, and he trusted that what he said was going to come to pass. So he began to get up from his bed and he began to walk. He walked in what he had received first and then believed. He trusted the Lord and then he was healed. Amen. I want you to get this. You gotta receive, believe, and trust God that it is done. Amen. That's how simple it is. I just Amen. Needed to bring that to your attention. Amen.
Amen.
It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Healing is yours. Salvation is yours and your family. It is a promise from God. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't say we may serve the Lord. No, it says we will serve the Lord. It is a gift from God. It's a promise from God. All you got to do is receive that word, believe, and trust God that it will be done. Even when you're gone, you may not see some of your family members saved, but believe that even when you're gone, they're going to come to Jesus. They're going to come to the Lord. The word says, every knee shall bow down at the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So our job is to receive, believe, and trust. Amen. Point number three, Jesus brings jubilee. Hallelujah. Amen. That is something to rejoice about. So all these things about, you know, the 50th year and the time of jubilee where people had to give, you know, their possessions back. In reality, do you really believe it really happened? I don't know, you know, if you were giving a piece of property, would you give it away so easily? Amen? I think most of us wouldn't. Amen? Most of us, okay? Hallelujah. But all of this jubilee is a promise of freedom and hope from God. Amen? I mean, you know, we've looked at the history of Israel. We see the word of God. We see how sovereign the Lord, you know, has been with the Israelites, how he's rescued them over and over and over again. Even not for nothing, but even in today's war, Israel has to do what they have to do. And they have God backing them up. Amen. It doesn't mean that God is good. You know, but things happen. Men are evil. There's evil out there. Amen. And Hamas knows exactly what they're doing. Amen. But God is a God of justice. And Israel, the Israelites, the defense that they have, they got to do what they have to do to protect their own. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, in God, we have this jubilee. In Jesus, we have this promise of freedom and of hope. Hallelujah. I mean, it's there. We are free. We've been rescued. We are protected. Hallelujah. And the reality is that there's people out there that want to steal stuff from you. They want to take things from you. They want to take your property from you. They, you know, how many people have lost their homes because of these craziness going on with the banks, with the mortgage, the loans, the 80-20 loans. I know I did. At one point, I lost my house because of the 80-20 loan rule at one time, because of the recession, because everything just went down the hill in this economy in 2008. I even lost a home. Amen. But God restores, and God restored me with a new home. After that, amen, God is a God of restoration. Hallelujah. God will restore everything that the enemy steals from you. But you have to, like we read before, pray, amen, receive, believe, and just trust God. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. So now I want you to turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. We're almost done. Chapter 4. Hallelujah. I hope you're receiving what the Lord is trying to say here. Hallelujah. 4:18. Again, look at this. You know, Jubilee, in reality, Jubilee, that the 50 years where, you know, people had to return things back, in reality, did it really happen? You know, many scholars think not. You know, there was a lot of Jews not practicing that. They really didn't want to give back. They didn't want to give their power away. Hallelujah, right? They didn't want to demand. They didn't want to give back that they actually took from them, right? So there was no really, they wanted to keep their possession. Let's put it that way. They didn't want to loosen their grip on their position at that point. So in reality, Jubilee never really happened until Luke 4:18 happened. Amen. And Jesus read these words, and he said, and this is right after he was baptized by John the Baptist. This is right after he was tempted by Satan. Hallelujah. And the Lord went into the synagogue. The Lord Jesus Christ went into the synagogue, and there was the book, the Bible, the scroll, of a prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is what he says. So part of the prophecy from Prophet Isaiah now is being spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. And then when we go to, and it says, let's go to 20. And it says, when he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. But Jesus didn't stop there. And he began to say to them in 21, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. Scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. So here we see, of course, Jesus, he's an outcast. He's speaking, he's preaching, he's standing up, he's speaking the word of God here. Amen. He's speaking prophecy, the word of God, in his own hometown synagogue. He reads the passage. He reads the passage in the scroll of Isaiah, and he declares that today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, saying those words nearly got him killed, because if we keep reading, it says, who is this? And they tried to run him away. Listen, you know, because they were like, who is this man? This guy is the son of the carpenter. Who is he to be speaking like this, that today this prophecy is fulfilled through me? You know, they looking at him, who are you? Get the heck out of here. Stop speaking blasphemy. You know, this was their reaction. Remember, one of the disciples says, wait a minute, you found the Messiah? Wait a minute, he's from Nazareth? Wait, but no good thing comes from Nazareth. So he already, you know, there was a reputation about people from Nazareth. Amen. But with Jesus, he was the son of a carpenter. He was just, to them, an ordinary person. Amen. So speaking these words out loud nearly got him killed. But when he acted acted upon these words. When he received the word from Father God, when he received the word, he came and he completed his job. Amen. He was born, he lived, he did ministry, he died, and he resurrected.
Amen.
And today we experience the new reality of freedom and hope because Jesus brings jubilee. Amen. Jesus brings jubilee. And when the Lord is saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's also saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Amen. Because you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. So not only is the Spirit of the Lord upon Jesus then, and it still is, but it's also upon you and me.
Amen.
There's an unction, there's the Spirit of God, there's an anointing that the Lord has given you. And this is why the word says that Jesus brings jubilee. He brings hope. He brings joy. He wins. He brings protection. He brings an anointing. He brings salvation. He brings healing into your life. And like I said before, every area, every sphere of your life is covered under the jubilee that the Lord Jesus has brought to you today. Amen?
Amen.
The people of Israel, they waited for the fulfillment of Isaiah's promise. Right then and there, the Messiah was right there in front of them in the synagogue, and they couldn't even recognize him because he looked ordinary, just the way everybody else looked around them. But the word says that God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen. Man, let me tell you something. I'm a fool for Jesus. Amen. He called me out because God takes the foolish things and he elevates them. And God has taken you and he is elevating you. He elevated you back then when you received the Lord, and he's elevating you today. Amen. So the people of Israel and we await for the fulfillment of Isaiah's promises. That promise is living. That promise is here for us today. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The anointing of God is upon you and me. Hallelujah. As we await in this Advent season, we know that the hope finally becomes reality in the arrival of Jesus Christ. So Jubilee Church brings freedom. Jubilee brings hope. Hallelujah. But it is a longing unrealized until Jesus brings jubilee.
Amen.
And gives you all that you need to be all he called you to be. So church, receive the Lord Jesus and all that he has given you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Amen. The Lord.